page 142. 4. There is an old plastic bag from Asda in the hedge, and a squashed Coca-Cola can with a snail on it, and a long piece of orange string. 5. The northeast corner of the field is highest, and the southwest corner is lowest. I had a compass because we were going on holiday, and I wanted to know where Swindon was when we were in France. And the field is folded downward slightly along the line between these two corners, so that the northwest and southeast corners are slightly lower than they would be if the field was an inclined plane. 6. I can see 3 different types of grass and 2 colors of flowers in the grass. 7. The cows are mostly facing uphill. And there were 31 more things in this list of things I noticed, but Sibin said I didn't need to write them all down, and it means that it is very tiring if I am in a new place, because I see all these things, and if someone asked me afterward what the cows looked like, I could ask which one, and I could do a drawing of them at home and say that a particular cow had patterns on it like this. And he's drawn a picture of a cow. Text. Page 143. And I realized that I told a lie in chapter 13 because I said, I cannot tell jokes, because I do know 3 jokes that I can tell, and I understand, and one of them is about a cow. And Sibin said I didn't have to go back and change what I wrote in chapter 13 because it doesn't matter, because it's not a lie, just a clarification. And this is the joke. There are 3 men on a train. One of them is an economist, and one of them is a logician, and one of them is a mathematician. And they have just crossed the border into Scotland. I don't know why they are going to Scotland. And they see a brown cow standing in a field from the window of the train, and the cow is standing parallel to the train. And the economist says, look, the cows in Scotland are brown. And the logician says, no, there are cows in Scotland of which one, at least, is brown. And the mathematician says, no, there is at least one cow in Scotland of which one side appears to be brown. And it is funny because economists are not real scientists, and because logicians think more clearly, but mathematicians are best. And when I am in a new place, because I see everything, it is like when a computer is doing too many things at the same time and the central processor unit is blocked up and there isn't any space left to think about other things. And when I am in a new place and there are lots of people there, it is even harder, because people are not like cows and flowers and grass, and they can talk to you and do things that you don't expect. So you have to notice everything that is in the place, and also you have to notice things that might happen as well. And sometimes when I am in a new place and there are lots of people there, it is like a computer crashing, and I have to close my eyes and put my hands over my ears and groan, which is like pressing Control plus Alt plus Delete and shutting down programs and turning the computer off and rebooting so that I can remember what I am doing and where I am meant to be going. Page 144. And that is why I am good at chess and maths and logic, because most people are almost blind and they don't see most things, and there is lots of space, spare capacity in their heads, and it is filled with things which aren't connected and are silly, like, I'm worried that I might have left the gas cooker on. 191. My train set had a little building that was 2 rooms with a corridor between them, and one was the ticket office where you bought the tickets, and one was a waiting room where you waited for the train. But the train station in Swindon wasn't like that. It was a tunnel, and some stairs, and a shop, and cafe, and a waiting room like this. And he's drawn a map, a drawing of what the train station looks. On the extreme left is the ticket office, with the entrance into the ticket office, then some sort of corridor across 2 sets of train tracks, a tunnel across, and then moving up the right-hand side, the shop is on the right, and a big waiting room, and then the cafe at the very top of the drawing. Text. Page 145. But this is not a very accurate map of the station, because I was scared, so I was not noticing things very well. And this is just what I remember, so it is an approximation. and it was like standing on a cliff in a really strong wind, because it made me feel giddy and sick, because there were lots of people walking into and out of the tunnel, and it was really echoey, and there was only one way to go, and that was down the tunnel, and it smelled of toilets and cigarettes. So I stood against the wall and held on to the edge of a sign that said, "Customer seeking access to car park, please use assistance, phone opposite, right of the ticket office," to make sure that I didn't fall over and go into a crouch on the ground. And I wanted to go home, but I was frightened of going home, and I tried to make a plan of what I should do in my head, but there were too many things to look at and too many things to hear. So I put my hands over my ears to block out the noise and think, and I thought that I had to stay in the station to get on a train, and I had to sit down somewhere, and there was nowhere to sit down near the door of the station, so I had to walk down the tunnel. So I said to myself in my head, not out loud, "I will walk down the tunnel, and there might be somewhere I can sit down, and then I can shut my eyes and I can think." And I walked down the tunnel, trying to concentrate on the sign at the end of the tunnel that said, "Warning, CCTV in operation." And it was like stepping off the cliff on a tightrope. And eventually I got to the end of the tunnel, and there were some stairs, and I went up the stairs, and there were still lots of people, and I groaned, and there was a shop at the top of the stairs and a room with chairs in it, but there were too many people in the room with chairs in it, so I walked past it. Page 146. And there were signs saying Great Western and Cold Beers and Lagers and Caution Wet Floor and Your 50 pence will keep a premature baby alive for 1.8 seconds, and Transforming Travel, and Refreshingly Different, and It's Delicious, It's Creamy, and It's Only 1.30 pounds, Hot Choc Deluxe, and 0870-777-7676, and The Lemon Tree, and No Smoking, and Fine Teas. And there were some little tables with chairs next to them, and no one was sitting at one of the tables, and it was in a corner, and I sat down on one of the chairs next to it, and I closed my eyes. And I put my hands in my pockets, and Toby climbed into my hand, and I gave him 2 pellets of rat food from my bag, and I gripped the Swiss Army knife in the other hand, and I groaned to cover up the noise because I had taken my hands off my ears, but not so loud that other people would hear me groaning and come and talk to me. And then I tried to think about what I had to do, but I couldn't think because there were too many other things in my head, so I did a maths problem to make my head clearer. And the maths problem that I did was called Conway's Soldiers. And in Conway's Soldiers, you have a chessboard that continues infinitely in all directions, and every square below a horizontal line has a colored tile on it like this. And there's a sort of checkerboard drawing with the squares at the top being not filled in and the squares at the bottom being colored or shaded text. And you can move a colored tile only if it can jump over a colored tile horizontally or vertically, but not diagonally, into an empty square 2 squares away. Page 147. And when you move a colored tile in this way, you have to remove the colored tile that it jumped over like this. And there are 2 illustrations of movement of tiles, text. And you have to see how far you get the colored tiles above the starting horizontal line, and you start by doing something like this. And there's an illustration with a lot of arrows showing the movement of the tiles, text. And then you do something like this. And there's an illustration showing even more tiles being moved by the use of little arrows, text. Page 148. And I know what the answer is, because however you move the colored tiles, you will never get a colored tile more than 4 squares above the starting horizontal line. But it is a good maths problem to do in your head when you don't want to think about something else, because you can make it as complicated as you need to fill your brain by making the board as big as you want and the moves as complicated as you want. And I had got to, and there's an illustration of the tile movement on this particular problem he's working on, text, and then I looked up and saw that there was a policeman standing in front of me, and he was saying, "Anyone at home?" But I didn't know what that meant. And then he said, "Are you all right, young man?" I looked at him, and I thought for a wee bit so that I would answer the question correctly, and I said, "No." And he said, "You're looking a bit worse for wear." He had a gold ring on one of his fingers, and it had curly letters on it, but I couldn't see what the letters were. Then he said, "The lady at the cafe says you've been here for 2.5 hours, and when she tried talking to you, you were in a complete trance." Then he said, "What's your name?" And I said, "Christopher Boone." And he said, "Where do you live?" Page 149. And I said, 36 Randolph Street. And I started feeling better, because I like policemen, and it was an easy question, and I wondered whether I should tell him that Father killed Wellington, and whether he would arrest Father. And he said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I needed to sit down and be quiet and think." And he said, "Okay, let's keep it simple. What are you doing at the railway station?" And I said, "I'm going to see Mother." And he said, "Mother?" And I said, "Yes, Mother." And he said, "When's your train?" And I said, "I don't know. She lives in London. I don't know when there's a train to London." And he said, "So you don't live with your mother?" And I said, "No, but I'm going to." And then he sat down next to me and said, "So where does your mother live?" And I said, "In London." And he said, "Yes, but where in London?" And I said, 451C Chapter Road, London, NW25NG. And he said, "Jesus, what is that?" And I looked down and I said, "That's my pet rat Toby," because he was looking out of my pocket at the policeman. And the policeman said, "A pet rat?" And I said, "Yes, a pet rat. He's very clean, and he hasn't got bubonic plague." And the policeman said, "Well, that's reassuring." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Have you got a ticket?" And I said, "No." Page 150. And he said, "Have you got any money to get a ticket?" And I said, "No." And he said, "So how precisely were you going to get to London then?" And then I didn't know what to say, because I had Father's cash point card in my pocket, and it was illegal to steal things. But he was a policeman, so I had to tell the truth. So I said, "I have a cash point card." And I took it out of my pocket and I showed it to him. And this was a white lie. But the policeman said, "Is this your card?" And then I thought he might arrest me, and I said, "No, it's Father's." And he said, "Father's?" And I said, "Yes, Father's." And he said, "Okay." But he said it really slowly, and he squeezed his nose between his thumb and forefinger. And I said, "He told me the number," which was another white lie. And he said, "Why don't you and I take a stroll to the cash point machine, eh?" And I said, "You mustn't touch me." And he said, "Why would I want to touch you?" And I said, "I don't know." And he said, "Well, neither do I." And I said, "Because I got a caution for hitting a policeman, but I didn't mean to hurt him, and if I do it again, I'll get into even bigger trouble." Then he looked at me and he said, "You're serious, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." Page 151. And he said, "You lead the way." And I said, "Where?" And he said, "Back by the ticket office." And he pointed with his thumb. And then we walked back through the tunnel, but it wasn't so frightening this time, because there was a policeman with me. And I put the cash point card into the machine like Father had let me do sometimes when we were shopping together, and it said, "Enter your personal number." And I typed in 3558 and pressed the enter button. And the machine said, "Please enter amount." And there was a choice. And the choices are 10 pounds, 50 pounds, 20 pounds, 100 pounds, an other amount, multiples of 10 only. And I asked the policeman, "How much does it cost to get a ticket for a train to London?" And he said, "About 30 quid. And I said, "Is that pounds?" And he said, "Christ alive," and he laughed. But I didn't laugh, because I don't like people laughing at me, even if they are policemen. And he stopped laughing and he said, "Yep, it's 30 pounds. So I pressed 50 pounds, and 5 10-pound notes came out of the machine. and a receipt, and I put the notes and the receipt